Thank you, Kenji, and thanks for praying for me earlier. Kenji mentioned my back is bothering me. That's how I feel too. I mean, that actually is probably the best description I could give for how I feel about it. It flared up on me about a month or so ago, and then flared up again yesterday, and then I decided to go running this morning, and that was not a good idea. And in the loft, I had a stool I could sit on. I don't have that advantage in here, so if you see me kind of leaning on the pulpit, I'm not coming after you, I promise. I'm not gonna start pounding or anything. I'm just here to get a little bit of support so I don't fall over. Kenji also mentioned I'm going to Africa, and just a brief note on that. I'm really excited about this morning. I'm also excited about what's coming up. I mentioned this briefly on Christmas Eve, but I am traveling tomorrow through the following Monday on behalf of the Global Methodist Church General Conference Commission. It's a mouthful. I am going to evaluate a couple of countries in Africa that we are considering for holding our next general conference. I was talking to some family members about this yesterday, and my aunt looked at me and said, "How many people are going on this scouting trip?" I said, "Me and one other guy." And she said, "And you're one of them?" And I was like, "Yeah, thanks for the vote of confidence." She was not quite sure how I wound up with this responsibility, and I'm not quite sure either, but I am going, and I'm excited about it. I can't tell you where I'm going. Due to contractual reasons, they don't want us to say what countries we are visiting because that can raise prices of things when you're dealing with negotiations and contracts. And so I kind of feel like I'm in the CIA. This is kind of fun for me. I'm going on a secret mission. I've got a code name. I'm just kidding. I don't have a code name. But it'll be a fun trip. And hopefully in the next month or so, once we've made a decision on where we are going to host this conference, I'll be able to share a little bit more about it. But please keep me in your prayers for that. But as we were planning this trip, me and the other guy that are going on it, we planned it 3 weeks ago, so this has really happened fast. We were looking at the calendar and we said, okay, we know we're gonna miss a Sunday by being gone as long as we need to be gone to get everything done that we are going to do. But I really, really don't wanna miss the first Sunday of January. And he said the same thing. He said, yeah, I really don't want to miss the first Sunday of January. Wanted to make sure we were with our churches to kick the year off. And I'm excited about this because we are going to talk about something that I feel is something that is for the whole year for us. As I've been praying about this year, as I've been praying about where to start this January, I just kept coming back to this idea of God is calling us to go deeper. God is calling us to move beyond where we are and individually and corporately go deeper into our faith. And so today we're going to talk about really scratching the surface of what it means to go deeper. And then over the course of the next few weeks, we're going to dive even deeper, no pun intended, into that idea of what it means to go deep in our faith. I was thinking about this, and the image that comes to my mind whenever I think about deeper, and I keep coming back to that image and that terminology, is what you see in the graphic before you. I keep thinking the screen works, it doesn't. But this one, you can see that there's the water imagery and the idea of going deeper into the water. And I thought back to a couple of experiences I've observed in my life of the experience of someone going deeper. One was my daughter, Everly Kate, when she was about to turn 4 years old. She was in swim lessons, and she's got a Memorial Day weekend birthday, and so it's right there at the beginning of summer. And she was about to turn four. She was taking swim lessons, and during her swim lessons, they invited the kids who were willing to try to go over to the diving board and to take a little dive off of the diving board, to take a little jump off of it. And she was like, "I'm not going to do it." And she just very emphatically says, "I'm going to do it when I'm four." Well, her birthday was like in 2 days. I mean, she was still gonna be doing swim lessons when her birthday hit. And so her birthday comes, and they're all lined up out there, and they're rotating around doing different activities in the swim lesson. And it comes time for some of the kids to go off of the diving board, but she didn't get her turn yet. And she stood at the side of the pool, and she stopped, and she said, "I am four now!" As though that was like some magical barrier that you had to get beyond in order to jump off the diving board. But in her mind, she was four, it was time, why wasn't she in line to jump off the board? And then of course she did what everybody does when they get to the diving board for the first time. I'm not so sure I really want to do this. But eventually she did, and she plunged in and went deeper. And I always think about that, that when we take that step of faith, when we go into something deeper, when we are willing to dive into the deeper waters and to get out of the shallow end, there's so much more that we experience. There's so much more that we get out of it. But oftentimes we've got those barriers. It might be a marker of I'm not old enough or I'm not qualified enough that makes us think that we aren't supposed to go beyond that barrier. I remember one I had in my life, the Boy Scout camp that I went to had this really kind of creepy, nasty lake. I'll just say it like that. And I wasn't too confident about getting in the water there. It wasn't anything about swimming. I knew how to swim. I knew how to do everything I needed to do. I was fully confident in that. I just wasn't quite sure about these waters. But in the summer of 1994, I don't know, those of you who were in South Georgia at that time might remember this, but there was massive flooding that hit this part of the state and the central part of the state in July of 1994. And during that great flood, it flooded that lake at the Boy Scout camp. And that was the week I happened to be camping at that camp that particular year. And so we were there when all of that happened and the lake grew. And when the lake grew, it meant that the only way that my troop could get from our campsite to the dining hall was we had to do a little bit of swimming in the lake. It was the only way we were going to get there. And so all of a sudden, I didn't have a choice to move beyond that barrier. I had to move beyond that barrier. I had to be comfortable jumping in those waters because otherwise I wasn't going to get to eat. And so there I was diving into the deep, unsuspectedly, unwillingly perhaps, but it ended up being what I needed to do to get beyond that threshold. And a lot of times in life, we don't go deeper in our faith. We don't go deeper into what God has in store for us because we're hesitant. Maybe we've got a barrier. Maybe it's that's for other people. That's for somebody else. Or I'm not qualified for that. Or that's for the pastor and the people who work at the church. Or maybe the really spiritual people that I look up to. But God might be tugging at you this year to go deeper, to experience more. And our hope as we move into this year is we don't want to just wade in the shallow waters. We want to experience all that God has in store for us. And for us, that might mean moving beyond some barriers. That might mean taking a step of faith. That might mean being willing to dive into things that we have been unwilling or uncomfortable with in the past so that we can go deep and we can experience all that God has for us. And so the question for us, and it's really kind of a question that's going to frame our year, is what do you need in order to go deeper? What do you need to experience in your life? What is God calling you to do in your life? And what is God leading you into as you think about your faith for going deeper? It might be something in terms of your participation in the life of the church. It might be how often you participate. It might be the things that you are involved in. It might be daily discipleship practices. Whatever it is, what do you need in order to sense that you are going deeper in your faith? When I thought about this idea and we were kind of looking at different scriptures that we might use as a part of this focus, I kept coming back to this one in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, in this particular chapter, Paul is addressing the church in Corinth, and he is not super impressed with them. I don't know if you picked up on that during the scripture reading, but this is the way that it begins. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. In case it's not clear, that's not a compliment that he's giving to them. He is making sure that they know that they are not where they need to be. They are living as mere infants. They are not ready and not mature enough to go deep. So he's going to explain what is missing and what is keeping them from being able to go deeper. So we continue. Verse 2 and 3, it says, I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? In other words, he is saying that in order for them to move beyond the stage of being mere infants, they have to rid themselves of the worldliness that is characterizing their lives. They need to mature. They need to be made ready. Now, when a baby is born, they will live off of milk. That will be what sustains them, and that's all that they need to get them to a certain point. But in order for them to continue to grow, in order for them to continue to mature, they are going to need more. They are going to need solid food. And so Paul is saying, this is the point that you're at, but until you get rid of the worldliness that is characterizing your life, you're not going to be able to experience the fullness of maturity in order to grow in the way that you need to grow to receive the solid food that I'm wanting to give you and wanting you to experience. And so when we evaluate our lives, one of the first questions we can ask before we can go deeper is, what do you need to unload? What needs to be unloaded in your life? As you think about your life and the things that characterize you and the things that hold you back, is there anything that needs to be unloaded? Worldliness can be interpreted a lot of different ways. In the case of the Corinthians, it's interpreted as the quarreling, the gossip, the comparison that they're caught up in. Those are the things that are binding them. We find out later on that there were other sins that were prevalent in that community, and all of it was a part of their worldliness. And worldliness can look different to different ones of us. When I think back on my spiritual journey, I had an experience in between middle school and high school that I refer to as kind of when I accepted Jesus for myself. That was my salvation experience. I had grown up in the church, but that was the point I really took hold of it and made it my own. And in doing that, it wasn't just a matter of praying a prayer and saying, okay, I'm going to follow Jesus. I recognized that there was worldliness in my life that I needed to get rid of in order to experience God for myself and to experience the fullness of faith. Part of that worldliness was caught up in wanting the approval of everybody around me. I just wanted everybody to like me, and I wanted to be popular, and so I was willing to do whatever it took. And that meant getting involved in behaviors that were not honoring to Christ. That meant engaging in a lifestyle and with a group that was leading me astray. And I knew in order to experience Jesus and to experience my faith and to go deeper in my faith, I could not be bound by that worldly lifestyle. I had to get rid of some of those things in my life. And that meant some tough choices, that meant some hard decisions, and that meant choosing more wisely who I was going to spend time with. That meant not caring as much what other people thought about me, but instead finding my identity in Christ and who God had called me to be. But in doing that, by ridding myself of the worldliness, I was able to experience more fully what God had in store for me. And so as you reflect on your life, is there anything that needs to be unloaded? Is there an addiction, a pattern of behavior? Is there a lifestyle choice? Is there something that it might even just be that the distractions in your life that keep you from focusing on your relationship with Christ? It might be the things that you devote your time to the most that are pulling you astray and leading you in the wrong direction. Whatever it happens to be, what needs to be unloaded in your life? The beautiful thing for us in reflecting on this passage is we're going to begin our year like we do every single month here. We're going to have a time of celebrating communion in this service. And as part of that experience, as we prepare to come to the table, we spend a moment to confess our sins before God and one another. And in doing that, what we are doing is we are unloading at the altar at the foot of Jesus and saying, these are the things that have bound me. These are the things that have held me back. I do not want them to stand in the way of all that you have for me, God. And in doing so, we are inviting Jesus into our lives, and we are responding to his invitation to go deeper in our faith as we seek to live that out. And so what needs to be unloaded? The second thing that we see in this passage is Paul wants them to recognize that not only do they not need to be caught up in the worldly things, they need to recognize the spiritual things and what truly is going on. He gives this comparison talking about this guy by the name of Apollos. Apollos was another Christian leader who overlapped Paul's ministry a bit. We see his name pop up in a few different places. And he had been a leader in the church there in Corinth. And as tends to happen when you have different leaders who cycle through, some people align with one leader more than another. You can think back on your experience either in this church or other churches you might have been a part of. Everybody has their favorite pastors. Everybody has the ones they connected with the best. You might have one Sunday school leader that you connect with more than another Sunday school leader. These things happen. These personalities happen in the body of Christ. But this is what Paul says about the work that Apollos did and the work that Paul did and what was ultimately important about it. In verse 6, he says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. In other words, it's not about what role different people have, although that is important, that people are invested in the ministry. We'll talk about that a bit more in a minute, and you can think back to all the people who have been invested in your life and your faith journey. But it's also recognizing that ultimately it's what God is doing that matters. It's letting God's word take root in you, and that being the true growth that we experience. And so a question we need to ask if we want to see growth, if we want to see depth, is what needs to take root in your life? What needs to take root in you? If God is making it grow, what needs to be planted, what needs to be watered, and what does God need to make grow within your life? When I think about this question, I think about all the things that help us grow in our faith. I think about the incredible opportunity that we have to come together and worship each week. And we come together and worship, and through the act of praising together, singing songs together, we are drawn nearer to God. When we spend time in the message, we get to look at God's word together. If you have, hopefully, if you don't have a Bible, we'll get you one. You have the opportunity to read the scriptures on your own, something that many people throughout history have not had as an opportunity. And that can be a means of letting God's word take root in you and growing in your faith. We have the opportunities to grow in community as we partner with other people, either in worship or in Sunday school classes or discipleship opportunities. All of those things help God's word take root in our lives so that we can grow deeper. And all of it is God making it work and God making it grow, but we have to take the time to let it be planted within us so that it can grow within us and so that God can bring forth the fruit. I was reflecting on this and thought about a statement we put together as a church a few years ago, and we'll put it up on the screen. You may not be able to read it from where you are, but this is what it says. Valdosta First Methodist Church will grow as a place of spiritual nourishment and connection by developing deep roots of faith through intentional forms of discipleship. We will branch out from these roots to bear fruit by meeting the spiritual, physical, and personal needs of the Valdosta area by sharing the love of Christ through our witness and service. Now, we don't have this, you know, splattered all over the walls around the church. We don't read it every week as a part of our worship services. But I can tell you, this is embedded in everything that we do as a church. If you break it down, it really is two sections. The first section is about nourishing our faith, growing in our faith through discipleship and the experience of being a community together. And then the second part is we want it to go and do something beyond the walls of this church. And so through our witness and our service, we see God making a difference. And so I get really, really excited about that first part. I don't want to belittle that at all. I get really excited about seeing people grow in their faith. They're studying the scriptures. They're coming to understand it more. They're asking questions. They're going deeper. I get really fired up when I see about three people each week nodding to the sermon. Yeah, yeah. Thank you, you three. And I love that stuff. I love the experience of us growing in our faith and going deeper in our knowledge and our experience of God's word and what it means to be a disciple and that knowledge and that experience and what God is doing within us. But I get really, really fired up as well when I see that message going not only in us, but going out beyond the walls of our church, going and seeing what we can do. I joked in our first service when Emily Reeves was sitting in there, we've changed her job about 12 times during the time she's worked in the church, and 11 of those have been in the past 18 months. And all the tweaks that we've made have been building to this point of really empowering her to help lead our church in mission beyond the walls of our church. And we've seen the hurricane was a perfect opportunity really to put this into practice right out of the gate, right as we had adjusted her job the last time. But just seeing that we as a church, we are committed to not just being people who give and support different ministries and missions, but we want to be hands-on, we want to be engaged, and we want to be a part of making a difference beyond the walls of our church and seeing a difference made as God's word and goodness is spread around our community. And so everything we do is about what happens in here, what happens within our lives, what happens in our Sunday school classes, our discipleship conversations, our worship services. It's all about preparing us to go and make a difference and to be the hands and feet of Jesus beyond the walls of our church. And so next week, you'll get to hear from Kenji and Emily as they share how we can put some of that into practice. And it's all about going deeper and seeing what God can do as we invest and we go deeper in our faith. So we want it to take root within us. And we see it take root within us as we engage in those spiritual practices, but we also engage in what God is doing in the world and partnering together to see how we can make a difference in the lives of others. The passage continues, and this last part is kind of beautiful because it describes the role that different people play within the life of the church. It says, "The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-laborers, co-workers in God's service, and you are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care." In other words, what he is saying is that he and Apollos and other leaders within the life of the church, what they were doing was they were investing. They were investing. They were investing in the lives of the people of the church. And we need to look at and take stock within our lives of what needs investment. Where do we need to put investment? Where do we, what needs to receive an investment? As I thought about my life and reflected on my faith journey, there are so many people I can look back on and say they made an investment in my life. Yes, it was God that made it grow, but there were people who made an investment in my life and made a difference. I started trying to make a list, and I thought back, first person on my list I put down was my second grade Sunday school teacher, Miss Ethel. Miss Ethel was really big on you should love God and love other people. Really simple concept, but I tell you, as a second grader, I got that every single week, and it's been embedded on my heart ever since. I think about my parents. I think about different pastors I've had. I think about different youth leaders I had and volunteers within the church. I think about a guy who was an usher in the church I grew up in who was just the embodiment of the love of Jesus each time you walked in that church and what a difference that made. I think about those people, and you probably think about people in your journey. I started making my list, and I said, I'm going to name off every single one of them. Then I got to double digits, and then I got to 20, then I got to 30, and it just kept going and going. I was like, I'm not going to keep people there all day. But the point is that all of our lives are significantly shaped by the investment of other people into the body of Christ and how that makes a difference in our lives. And so we turn to that and we look for that. But then the next logical question is, how can we go deeper in our faith by making an investment in others? What might God be calling us to do to make an investment and to bless others and to be an extension of the love of Christ to other people? What needs to receive an investment? Within the body of Christ, we all have different commitments that we make. We commit to support the church through our presence, our prayers, our gifts, our service, and our witness. And all of those things work together to make a difference. I do want to say this just as a side note. Thinking about investment, this church always blows me away by the ways that you invest financially in the ministry and the mission of our church. And you know, last year, we scratched our heads a little bit. We were like wondering, are we going to hit the marks that we need to? And then New Year's Eve rolls around, and I get a text from our folks in the office, and they told me the deposit amount. And I reread it to make sure I counted the digits correctly. You folks did awesome. You blew me away. I mean, it was incredible to see how we hit our year-end mark, what we were hoping to hit. And it was just incredible that you were invested in the ministry of what God is doing here. Because ultimately, it is the investment of the people who are a part of this church that enables us to be engaged in what God is calling us to do. And when you invest financially, when you invest through your service, when you invest by being here, when you support the church by your prayers, all of those things make a difference in what God is able to do through us and what we get to be a part of. And what I believe is that if we want to go deeper in our faith, it's not just about the knowledge that we attain. It's not just about the things that we get to be a part of. Really going deeper in our faith really emerges the most when we take the step of making an investment and we extend it beyond ourselves. People who have taught over the years will tell you that you get a little bit out of being a student. You get a lot out of being a teacher. There is so much power in saying, I'm going to go deeper in my faith by not just going deeper myself, but I'm going to see how I can take others deeper as well. I'm going to make an investment in them. And all of this points towards us experiencing what God wants to do in our lives. Now, here's what I believe in all of this. I believe that God has great things in store for us as a church. I think that God has great things in store for us individually. I think this is going to be a year of growth where we are going to grow deeper in our relationship with Christ. We are going to grow deeper in our understanding of what it means to be a church. We're going to grow in our communities. We're going to see a resurgence in our groups that meet together and the engagement that we have in that. We're going to see people continue to be engaged in prayer and that ministry within the life of our church. We're going to continue to see God do incredible things through missions as we continue to develop additional partnerships and engage more people in that. And it's going to take all of us being invested within that. Now, there's a imagery that's built within the first part of this passage that really struck something in me as I was reading over it. And it's that imagery at the very beginning of Paul saying, I want to give you solid food, you're just not ready for it. And what he's saying is that you need to get to the point where through unloading the things that would hold you back, through taking root in the things that would truly enable you to engage and go deeper in your faith, through investing in the opportunities that God places in your life to grow and to bless others. All of this is about taking on that solid food. Now, I love to cook. I love cooking. It's one of my favorite things to do. Usually, if there's a family gathering, I'm cooking for it. And I love getting to prepare the menu and get everything together. When I turned 40, I said, I just want to have people over at my house all day, and I'll just cook all day. I mean, that's what I wanted to do. It was like 8,000 degrees, and I'm hovering around grills the whole day. I mean, I love it. I love that experience, and that I just thrive off of it. But I'm going to share with you today something my family knows, and it's my biggest pet peeve in the world. This is what it is. You ready? After I have taken the time to prepare the food, and I have announced that the food is ready and it's time for everyone to make their plates, what do you think happens at my house? No one makes their plate. They just all stand around, or they go and start another project or doing something else. And it drives me crazy because I'm like, the food is ready. It's time to eat. And I just believe so much as I think about what God has been stirring within the lives of the people of this church and what God has been stirring in me and the hopes and the dreams that we have for reaching beyond the walls of this church to our community, is I believe that it's time to eat. I believe it's time to take hold of it. And so my commitment to you as pastor of this church is each and every week, I'm going to cook. Each and every day that I'm in the office, that I'm engaged in the activities of the church, I'm going to be cooking. Kenji, every week in worship, every time you're out visiting somebody, I want you to cook. You on board with cooking?
Yes.
Okay, all right, that's what I like to hear. The rest of the staff is scattered. Davis, cook. Everybody who's involved in our ministry, everyone who's a leader of a Sunday school class, everybody who is a leader in some capacity, anyone who is engaged in ministry and mission through the life of our church, I want you to be a cook this year. And then here's the second part of it. I want all of us to come ready each and every week, each and every opportunity, and I want us to hear the announcement that the food has been prepared and it's time to eat. Because I believe that God is ready to take us deeper if we are willing to take that step. We do that by acknowledging what we need to get rid of in our lives, what might be holding us back. We do that by seeing what needs to take root within us. What do we need to take hold of? Where is God calling us to go deeper? And then we take hold of that by looking and saying, how can we be invested in the ministry and the mission and everything that God is wanting to do in our lives and in the community that we are a part of? Because when we take hold of those questions and we take them seriously as we reflect on what God might want to do in us and through us, that's when we're ready to eat.